relevant suspects. So could we start at the top with that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and today I wanted to share with you some of my look at the proposals for a national health care plan. As I've watched the various candidates in many ways do the moonwalk, step back from the original health care plan introduced by Bernie Sanders, I've noticed that it's become a very complicated issue. And even though people are referring to all of their plans, everyone is referring to their plans as health care for all, Medicaid for all, that there is a vast array of difference in those plans. And as I see it, there are actually two actual bills that have been proposed. One is proposed by Bernie Sanders in the Senate, and another is proposed in the House by Pramila Jayapal. The Senate bill is very comprehensive, and the House bill is actually very comprehensive. The Senate bill is Senate 1129, and it was actually proposed on April 10th, 2019. And the co-signers at that time were Sanders, Baldwin, Blumenthal, Booker, Gillibrand, Harris, Leahy, Markey, Merkley, Schatz, Udall, Warren, and Whitehouse, Hirono, and Heinrich. So those were the people who signed on when the bill was introduced in the Senate. So a lot of these people, it seems, have retreated from the original bill. But the bill is to establish a Medicare for All National Health Insurance Plan. And it says, be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. And the short title, this act may be cited as the Medicare for All Act of 2019. And the table of contents of this act are actually quite interesting. establishment of the universal Medicare program, universal entitlement enrollment. And so this is the short title. And it says, within this bill are the establishment of the universal Medicare program, universal entitlement, freedom of choice, non-discrimination, enrollment, excuse me, effective date of benefits, prohibition against duplicating coverage, comprehensive benefits, and this comes under comprehensive benefits, including preventative benefits and benefits for long-term care. Comprehensive benefits, no cost sharing, exclusions and limitations, coverage of institutional long-term care service under Medicaid, prohibiting recovery of concurrently correctly paid Medicaid benefits, state standards. And under provider participation, there are these categories, provider participation and standards, qualifications for providers, use of private contracts. And under the administration, general administration provisions are administration, consultation, regional administration, beneficiary ombudsman, complementary conduct of related health programs. And then there's a section on control over fraud and abuse, application of federal sanctions to all fraud and abuse under universal Medicare program. There is a quality assessment, quality standards, addressing health care disparities. Under the health budget payment cost containment measures is the budgeting, and there is a provision for the national health budget, and payments to providers. And that means in payments to institutional and individual providers, ensuring accurate valuation of service under the Medicare physician fee schedule, Office of Primary Health Care, payments for prescription drugs and approved devices and equipment. So this is quite a long bill, and it's covering for a lot of provisions. The Universal Medicare Trust Fund is another section, and then it goes on to conforming amendments to the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, prohibition of employee benefits, duplication of benefits under the Universal Medicare Program, coordination in case of workers' compensation, repeal of continuation coverage requirements under ERISA, E-R-I-S-A, and certain other requirements relating to group health plans, effective date of title. And then it goes on to additional conforming amendments, relationship to existing federal health programs, sunset of provisions related to the state exchanges. And he has a portion on the transition. Transitional Medicare buy-in option and transitional public option. Lowering the Medicare age. Establishment of the Medicare transition plan. And transitional Medicare reforms. Medicare protection against high out-of-pocket expenditures for fee-for-service benefits and eliminations of Part A and B deductibles. Reduction in Medicare Part D annual out-of-pocket threshold and elimination of cost sharing above that threshold. Coverage of dental and vision services and hearing aids and examinations under Medicare Part B. Eliminating the 24-month waiting period for Medicare coverage for individuals with disabilities. Guaranteed issues of Medigap policies. And under subtitle C, section 1015, it says private health insurance availability during transitional period, and then continuity of care, and ends with the miscellaneous updating resource limits for supplemental security income eligibility, that's SSI, and definitions. So it's a very long bill, and you can find this bill in the congressional website. I'll leave a link on our archive page so you can go there and download the full bill so that you can take a look at it. Now, the House bill, House of Representatives H.R. 1384, has a lot of signers, and Representative Jayapal is the one who introduced the bill. And let me look to see who's here that might be of interest. Let's see if anyone running is supporting this bill. Tulsi Gabbard is supporting, has signed on to the House version of this bill. And there's a lot of names here, and I'm trying to find if there are congressional people, but I don't see too many others signing on to the House bill. So the House bill is a bill to establish an improved Medicare for All National Health Insurance Program, be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. And the short title is, This Act May Be Cited as the Medicare for All Act of 2019. So whatever differences are in these two bills would, I suppose, have to be reconciled, and then the bill finally passed. Neither of which has happened on either bill, as far as I can tell. So this act is as follows. Title 1, Establishment of the Medicare for All Program Universal Coverage Enrollment. Establishment of the Medicare for All Program Universal Coverage, Freedom of Choice, Non-Discrimination Enrollment, Effective Date of Benefits, Prohibition Against Duplicating Coverage. Comprehensive benefits, including preventive benefits and benefits for long-term care. So that's good. It has comprehensive benefits, no cost sharing, exclusions and limitations, and coverage of long-term care services. Provider participation. Provider participation and standards, whistleblower protections, qualifications for providers, and use of private contracts. And under the administration, it has the administration, consultation, regional administration, beneficiary ombudsman. So these seem like quite dry bills, but they're very, very deeply thought out and planned. And conduct of related health programs, control over fraud and abuse, there's quality assessment, health budget payments, cost containment measures within this bill. The Universal Medicare Trust Fund, conforming amendments to the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, additional conforming amendments, transitions. So the transition of the House bill gives a 2-year transitional period, where the Senate bill is a 4-year transitional period. And in this transition, Medicare for All transitions over 2 years, establishment of the Medicare transition buy-in. So there's some cagey language in both of these bills about opting in or buying in to the program. And so they're very similar. There are some distinctions between them, but the two actual bills are really those acts that have some measure of being able to actually get us health care. So how this is shaking out in the debate from my perspective is very interesting, because while it seems that Senator Bernie Sanders is holding the line on his health care offer, saying that it is Medicare for all and everyone would be included, it seems that there is some transitional way that people can engage in more traditional health care in terms of health care plans. But the transition would be made in 4 years as far as Bernie Sanders is concerned. And when I look at his statement on health care. His statement is health care as a human right, Medicare for all. We say to the private health insurance companies, whether you like it or not, the United States will join every other major country on earth and guarantee health care to all people as a right. All Americans are entitled to go to the doctor when they're sick and not go bankrupt after staying in the hospital. And the details. Today, more than 30 million Americans still don't have health insurance, and even more are underinsured. Even for those with insurance, costs are so high that medical bills are the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States. Incredibly, we spend significantly more of our national GDP on this inadequate health care system, far more per person than any other major country. And despite doing so, Americans have worse health outcomes and a higher infant mortality rate than countries that spend much less on health care. Our people deserve better. We should be spending money on doctors, nurses, mental health specialists, dentists, and other professionals who provide service to people and improve their lives. We must invest in the development of new drugs and technologies that cure disease and alleviate pain, not wasting hundreds of billions of dollars a year on profiteering, huge executive compensation packages, and outrageous administrative costs. So he goes on to talk more, and you can find this at his website, BernieSanders.com, issues Medicare for All. And so I find that very interesting, but I wonder... and I think many do wonder, what do some of the top contenders have to say about their on health care? So one of the other top contenders is Joe Biden. And I'm looking on a website called On the Issues, Every Political Issue, Every Political Leader on Every Issue. And you can find that at ontheissues.com. Joe Biden on health care. So his position is to expand Obamacare, but not Medicare for all. Biden has signaled that he is open to adding on to the Affordable Care Act, which was signed into law while he was vice president. The Affordable Care Act was a big step, but we need to build on it. What we can't do is blow it up. Biden has spoken out against Republicans' efforts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. He hasn't publicly supported Medicare for All. So his position is to stay with the Affordable Care Act and maybe adding to it in order to help people. So it would be some kind of pulling together of these different issues. And as I look on this website, which is separate from the actual candidates' websites, and it gives their basic position that they've prevented, he's talking about a national effort to cure cancer by genomics. Joe opened up about his grief on television, and so he wants to go into some kind of special curing of cancer. So he wants to invest in more research for cancer. Increased funding for the NIH to the highest level in a decade. So he's for funding to the National Institutes of Health. Medicare gives senior choice even if prescription prices are negotiated. So it looks like his position is pretty much the status quo with maybe a little bit of add-on to help people. It's a lot of information here. And if you go to that website, you will be able to look at each of the candidates and see what they generally are saying. And so another top candidate is, maybe some of the people who were actually on the debate. Let's look at what I don't know if she still qualifies as a top candidate, but we'll look at Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has a plan, but she is, rather than the actual bills that are in place, so she did co-sign on Bernie Sanders' bill with a four-year transition, but Kamala Harris is actually proposing a 10-year transition and a private option. So this is really walking back on the original plan, but for some people, I suppose this is what they are looking for. So there's a quote here following a question. This week, you released a new healthcare plan which would preserve private insurance and take 10 years to phase in. Vice President Biden's campaign calls your plan a have-it-every-which-way approach and says it's just part of a confusing pattern of equivocating about your healthcare stance. What do you say to that? And her question, her answer was, I have been spending time in this campaign listening to American families, listening to experts, listening to healthcare providers, and what I came away with is a very clear understanding that I needed to create a plan that was responsive to the needs of the American people, understanding that insurance companies have been jacking up the prices for far too long. I listened to the American families who said 4 years is just not enough to transition into this new plan. So I devised a plan where it's going to be 10 years of a transition. I listened to American families who said, I want an option that will be under your Medicare system that allows a private plan. So Kamala Harris has stretched the transition period to 10 years, and she is supporting the continuing of insurance payments to insurance companies and having that diversity of plans. So that is essentially the position of Kamala Harris on healthcare, which is very different from the original bill sponsored by Bernie Sanders and originally signed on by Kamala Harris, but she has taken it back to another way of really dealing with this. So let's see. Elizabeth Warren is also saying that she is a progressive candidate. And Elizabeth Warren on health care. For-profit insurance is not working for America. So this is from one of the debates on the opening statement. And Delaney said, folks, we have a choice. We can go down the road that Senator Sanders and Senator Warren want to take us, which is with bad policies, like Medicare for all, but we don't have to go around and be the party of subtraction and telling half the country who has private health insurance that their health insurance is illegal. And Warren came back with, let's be clear about this. We are the Democrats. We are not about trying to take away health care from anyone. That's what the Republicans are trying to do, and we should stop using Republican talking points in order to talk with each other but how to best provide that health care. So the question is, has Warren stood strong with the health care originally presented as the bill in the Senate? No private insurers and Medicare for all is the question. Warren, we have to think in terms of the big frame. Washington works great for the wealthy who can hire armies of lobbyists, and it keeps working great for the insurance companies. What it's going to take is real courage to fight back against them. These insurance companies do not have a God-given right to make $23 billion in profit and suck it out of the healthcare system. So that's pretty good. Medicare for all would prevent many people from going broke. And this is Warren. Insurance profits means they want no change. So she did co-sponsor the Medicare for All bill, but the question is she really standing with that? Is she standing for that in the long term? And it seems that she is to some degree. So that's a good thing. She may or may not stand for it as we go forward into the national campaign, because she has changed some policies in the national campaign from her original stance. So let's see, who did we not look at? Cory Booker is an interesting candidate as well. So Cory Booker on health care, he's the mayor of Newark, and he was the mayor of Newark and a New Jersey senator. Medicare for All, start with common sense reforms. So his position seems to be more about changing along the margins. In a system that is the most expensive system on the planet Earth, we spend about 18% to 20% of our GDP on healthcare, and we still have folks that are struggling just to get by because our system doesn't go to patient care. The ideal is that everyone should have access to healthcare. Healthcare is an American right, and the current system is definitely wrong. I believe the best way to get there is by having Medicare for All. We can drive prices down doing common sense things like using Medicare's bargaining power. You raise your drug price higher than other countries, we're going to have to have a definite penalty. We're going to take away your patient and let generics come in and undercut those prices. So he's talking about the lowering the drug prices. Allowing importing prescription drugs to lower RX prices. And he backs Medicare for All. Booker calls health care an American right. The government-run plan will be phased in over 4 years, the private insurance market as it currently exists. It would be paid for by a tax on employers and increased taxes on capital gains and incomes exceeding $250,000. He had previously defended the Affordable Care Act, that's the Obamacare, but stopped short of supporting a single-payer plan. He will consider a single-payer plan, but he's not behind it. And he is against repealing the Obamacare Affordable Care Act. And so he thinks that Obamacare is a vital step in the right direction. So he's not terrible on health care, but it seems that he is a little bit taking a step back, if not entirely taking a step back. And so who else can we look at here? So let's look at Mayor Pete Buttigieg. How do we get single payer? Need a glide path. I would call it Medicare for all who want it. You make it available on the exchanges. People can buy in. If people like us are right, that will be not only a more inclusive plan, but a more efficient plan. Then it will be a very natural glide path to a single-payer environment. But let's remember, even in countries that have socialized medicine, there's still a private sector. It's just that for our primary care, we can't be relying on the tender mercies of the corporate system. So he is has a conditional support. He doesn't, I would say that he's not really supporting it. He wants to have some kind of plan that's on the exchange that people can buy into, which doesn't sound very realistic to a single mother in the South Bronx, I don't think. Cover undocumented immigrants, then we're all healthy. So he wants to cover undocumented immigrants because he's only looking for a buy-in. So if you can buy in, then hey. Single-payer option call to Medicare for all. Single-payer environment is probably the right answer in the long term. So, okay, long-term plans. Medicare for all who want it, a public option. Public option is a step towards universal care, single rate for health care before single payer. His generation not put off by claims of socialism. Okay, that's Pete Buttigieg. So he's about buying into a program, not so much about the Medicare proposals that have already been introduced and are standing for support. Okay, let's look at Christian Gillibrand seems to be have some support for health care. She did sign on to the Bernie Sanders bill. So her position is transition to Medicare for all through public option. Health care is a right and not a privilege. That's why I am for Medicare for all. And I believe that the best way to get there is to let people buy in. And that is how we get the single payer over a very short transitional period. I don't think that you can actually get to universal coverage unless you have a not-for-profit public option that is focused solely on human health. The reason why we have a transition plan is because you're going to let Americans choose. If you let America choose basic care through Medicare, which is a higher quality and far more affordable, I can't imagine that most Americans won't choose it. So, okay, so she's already taken a few steps back and is talking about people buying into or opting into a plan in order to make it work. So that does put put some limitation on the actual bill that she co-signed, so it seems. Provide a public option to get to universal coverage. Basic health program, offer lower priced health insurance. Expand Medicare and add a not-for-profit public option. She opposes the sugary drink ban. And she believes that you should investigate insurers. So that was those are some of her past bills. So Christian Gillibrand is kind of a yes, but no, I want to keep the insurance viable, and so it seems. Okay, so let's see. Tulsi Gabbard wasn't in the recent debate, but that is under contention for many people. Tulsi Gabbard on health care. She supports Medicare for all and address prescription costs. It is unacceptable that we pay far more for health care than any other country in the world, yet we have far worse outcomes. Medicare for all would lower the cost of health care by taking out bloated administrative fees and the heavy profits that insurance companies make on the back of sick people. Medicare for all is not going to solve everything. We have to address the high cost of prescription drugs. Right now, Medicare can't negotiate with prescription drug companies. So that's a reasonable thought. If we go to a Medicare for all program, that program has to be able to negotiate prescription drugs. She also supports Medicare for all but keep private insurance. Medicare for All supports said that she doesn't want to eliminate private insurance. She supports Medicare for All and wants to tax the wealthiest 5% to pay for it. Gabbard co-sponsored a bill to create a government-run system to provide health care for all residents of the United States. That bill, the Expanded and Improved Medicare for All Act, would pay for health care by increasing taxes on the wealthiest 5% of Americans, create a progressive excise tax on payroll and self-employment tax, tax unearned income, and also tax stock and bond transactions, not just the gains from those transactions. So you would be taxing the whole transaction. That's pretty interesting. She opposed repealing Obamacare. GOP can't beat Obamacare, so they pretend it's a disaster, is one of the points that she made. So she's fairly good on health care, still holds out an option for private care, and wants to tax the 5% to pay for the what she's offering. So that's pretty interesting. I'm interested to see Marianne Williamson is another candidate who didn't make it into the debates. But she has some really interesting ideas. Marianne Williamson on healthcare. So she says make Medicare for All a public option. I'd like to see a Medicare for All type of plan that presents that's presented as a public option. I think a lot of people would gravitate to that. In addition, if people want private insurance, if they like their private insurance or want to augment, then they should be able to. The issue is, why are we going to do that? The reason we are going to do that is because you're a citizen of the United States, and no citizen should be worrying about health care. She supports the Medicare for All model. Okay, so she's not completely on board or doesn't understand or hasn't made a decision. But the interesting about Marianne Williamson is offering that no one else says is that she wants a Medicare for All plus lifestyle and nutrition support. And she says, Marianne Williamson, the biggest problem with America's healthcare system is that it is not a healthcare system so much as a sickness care system. It reflects an outdated perspective on health and healing in which far too little attention is given to the actual cultivation of health and prevention of disease. I will robustly support high-quality universal coverage for every American, including a Medicare for All model. In addition, my administration would champion the following policy changes. Require our healthcare system to reimburse medical professionals for a broader array of lifestyle and nutrition support focused on preventing disease and or addressing root causes. Provide patients with more robust ongoing support from nutritionists, health coaches, therapists, and mental health, exercise specialists, and other peripheral lifestyle treatment providers. Fund programs and all our education systems designed to teach nutrition and lifestyle skills to help cultivate long-term health. So she's the only one so far that I see that has a perspective that takes into more into preventing people from getting sick rather than dealing with illness on the back end. And she said towns should set up physical activities for community health. And we need to develop healthy habits at a community level. Towns and cities can and should look collectively at how to activate, how active their populations are. So she's has a more perhaps humanistic perspective on health and allowing people to get coverage for things other than those expensive medications. So I think that's very useful. Let's see who else should, Beto O'Rourke. Let's see what Beto has to say. Beto O'Rourke is from Texas, and he is, Beto O'Rourke says, universal coverage, not Medicare for All. So he has his own take on coverage, and he does not support the bill that is in the Senate and in the Congress. O'Rourke supports universal health care, but did not mention Medicare for All on his senatorial campaign website, despite backing such programs in 2017. So he's taken some steps back. And he calls his plan Medicare for America as a public option. This is what he says. O'Rourke is touting a proposal called Medicare for America, a public option bill that would enroll some Americans in a public plan while preserving private insurance for those who receive it from their employers. Rather than covering everyone equally under a single program, it will maintain varying qualities of coverage with price tags based on income. It includes premiums of up to 10% of a person's annual income and out-of-pocket maximum of $5,000. And under his statements, he wants to protect existing priorities, then expand Medicare and Medicaid. Beto O'Rourke said, the goal has to be that every single one of us can see a doctor, take our child to a therapist, afford our prescriptions to be well enough to live to our full potential. Speaking in a radio Iowa interview, O'Rourke rattled off four key priorities. The quickest way to get there, in my mind, is to ensure that we protect the safeguards that we already have. Expansion of Medicaid in those states that haven't done it. Allow people to buy into Medicare who are not already covered by employer insurance. Ensure that there is an effective guarantee so that even if you have insurance but are unable to afford the copay, that we guarantee you that you are going to get the care or the medication that you need. Medicare X government-run public option. So healthcare, create a government-run health insurance plan as one option for Americans. And then, you know, the big picture, eventually make healthcare for all a reality. So he's taking the slow path and doesn't seem to be too much in opposition to pharmaceutical companies making a fortune from this system. So that's interesting. Let's see, Andrew Yang, what is his position on healthcare? He's a kind of an upstart in many of his policies. So Andrew Yang on healthcare, aligned with Intactivists against circumcision, okay. His position is the public option would cost less than the present system. He goes, I'm in the Medicare for All public option camp. Right now we're spending twice as much on health care to worse effects than other countries. We're spending 18% of GDP. And one of the things that is confusing about this is people are like, where are you going to get the money? Which is completely incorrect. We're spending twice as much than other countries. If we channel our existing resources and negotiate lower drug prices, lower rates, we can get to the access. We can get the access up and the prices down. So he's like, well, if we can negotiate the prices down, then yeah, we can provide health care. Advocates for a single-payer healthcare system. Yang calls his economic philosophy human-centered capitalism, advocating for a system that emphasizes metrics that measure human well-being and fulfillment, such as a standard of living, health-adjusted life expectancy, childhood success rates, and social and economic mobility. He's described his plan as a vision for a trickle-up economy. So what this economic philosophy is he's looking at changing the GDP from a system that's based on stocks and bonds and how many how much money and goods have been traded and how well the banking industry and on the employment statistics to real statistics on how actual human beings are functioning in the world, which to me, it does give a better standard in terms of judging where the country is. So that's an interesting perspective. Medicare for All establishes a basic right, and so he loosely considers Medicare for All as a basic right. So that's Andrew Yang. And Julian Castro, let's see, we have a little time left. I want to get to as many of these as you can. Julian Castro on healthcare. U.S. should be the healthiest nation. Medicare for All, he supports it. Saying at an event with Iowa Democrats that the U.S. should be the healthiest nation. He wants Medicare for All, but allow private insurance. I want to make sure that we strengthen Medicare for the people who are on it, and that we provide Medicare to everybody who wants it in this country so that everybody can have the opportunity to get Medicare if everybody wants to have their own private health insurance plan. They ought to have that. What I don't believe is that anybody should go without health care, or that the health or that the profit motive should ever keep somebody from getting the care they need. Okay, that's his philosophy. He would tax the richest to fund Medicare for all. So he does support Medicare for all system, and he wishes to tax the rich, which is 5% or 1% of citizens in order to find it. Medicare for all paid for by tax on wealthy. Americans should not be on their own for health care, he says. Okay, so he is also a moderated view, generally supporting health care for all, but wanting to protect the health care access or the health care industry, as one might say. So let's see who's still in the game. Jay Inslee, he's a former representative from Washington. He implemented statewide public option with Obamacare. He's saying he wants Medicare for all who want it as an opt-in, not a mandate. So he says, answers the question, well, I can't call it Medicare for all who want it. I have not called for making all private coverage illegal. I've not called to make all private carriers illegal. There's a little flavor difference there. We do obviously believe healthcare is a right. We believe in universal coverage. We believe my step is a good step forward, but it's not the only one, and we're going to reduce the age of automatic entry. I think we should reduce the age of eligibility to zero for new citizens. That will give us a full Medicare plan as more Americans come into the system. So he looks like he's looking for opt-in programs and open to anyone who's in the system. So I suppose that would cover legal immigrants. He wants to lower the eligibility for Medicare and provide a public option, looking at initial steps to universal health care, but not quite ready to take the leap. He voted no on the Ryan budget Medicare choice tax and spending cuts, so he's against taking what we have and for giving us a tad more. So that's interesting. So it seems that all of the candidates are taking a step back from the original Medicare for All bill introduced in the House and the Senate. But Steve Bullock, let's take a look. Build on Obamacare, but don't replace with single payer. So this is Steve Bullock. My focus would be building off of the Affordable Care Act and improving it. Medicaid expansion is good for business and jobs. Let's see, got Medicaid expansion through a GOP-dominated legislator. Protect Obamacare before pushing to expand further. He worked with legislator to expand Medicaid. Ensure the working poor with federal dollars. Access Health Montana, increase coverage and access. He did in 2013. So he's an incrementalist, it would seem, on health care. Amy Klobuchar, I believe she was still in the debates. Amy Klobuchar on health care. Backs Medicare Advantage alternative to Medicare. She is one of two Democratic presidential candidates who signed a letter backing Medicare Advantage, the growing alternative to traditional Medicare. She urged the Federal Trade Commission to crack down on pay-for-delay pharmaceutical deals. She wants to ensure vets get equal support for mental health, and she supports a public option for Medicaid or Medicare. She wants to take on Big Pharma on prices and lack of competition, and for the public option, taking on Big Pharma is how she would handle that. Medicare for all is aspirational for the future, not now. Okay, so her position is to put it aside and kick the can down the road, so it seems, on Medicare for All. And that is Amy Klobuchar is not for Medicare for All, as far as I can see. Who else is still in the game? It's hard to tell, actually. Eric Swalwell, is he still in the race? Eric Swalwell on healthcare. Guarantee if you're sick, you see a doctor and not go broke. Coverage for all, but don't eliminate private insurers. Invest in search for cures for Alzheimer's. Keep private insurance and allow public option. Okay, so he's quite recessive on it. Who else is in the game? Not sure. Some of these names I don't even recognize. Mayor Wayne Messam. Did anyone know there was a Mayor Wayne Messam running for the president? Okay. Medicare for All, open to any expansion of health care. I think that health care should be a matter of civil right in this country. There's been some discussion about Medicare for All. It seems to be the simplest reform idea. I'm open to any reform measure that expands coverage for all people. The American people should spend more on health care than any other wealthy country, and yet we receive less for it. So he seems to be on the Medicare for All bandwagon, but sadly, I don't think anybody knows he's running for president. Let's see, Tim. I'm not going to have time to get to everyone, it seems. Tim Ryan, he has supported Obamacare and single payer. So he's supported single payer health care and the Affordable Care Act, and I think that's the upshot of it. He's not really for Medicare for All. Let's see if I can squeeze in another few here. All right. I don't think I can. We're just about out of time. We just wanted to go back to Bernie Sanders, who is actually holding the line on Medicare. Elective procedures can be covered by private insurance. So he's not completely eliminating it. If you want to get face surgery or some kind of surgery that isn't health required for your health, yeah, you can have health insurance for that. Pharmaceutical companies need to justify high drug prices. Don't let Republicans do away with protection. This is his record. Impose Medicaid requirements on states. And that's a big deal because a lot of the states never did adopt the Medicare requirements that were in the Affordable Care Act. So he has some interesting perspectives as well. So this is a complicated issue, primarily because there have been so many candidates on the issues. My sense of it is that the two bills in the House and the Senate are the bills that we need to use as our test. Either a candidate supports Medicare for All or not. Walking back and making a general statement isn't sufficient to understand that they're actually going to support giving people health care. So the congressional bill, S-1129, though people have co-signed the bill, are walking back from the bill, and that's unfortunate. But I think that could be and should be our litmus test in terms of who is really for Medicare for All. The House bill, also a very good bill, H.R. 1384. The House bill, as far as I could tell, the biggest distinction is the House bill has a 2-year transition. The Senate bill has a 4-year transition. And the House bill completely eliminates insurance companies. And the Senate bill has kinder to insurance companies, allowing them to find their niche in the process. But there, it's a very complicated issue. I think that all people who are voting should check it out. And I will leave some links for you to come to the website. You can go to prn.fm and under the archive, look for Heart of Mind Radio. And I will lead links to the actual bills as well as a link to the website that outlines the various candidates' statements. And you can make your choice based on the facts. But as you're looking at all of these plans, keep in mind that a lot of these candidates are making choices based on their funding sources. So if a candidate is being funded by a pharmaceutical company, then they're going to be making more room for the pharmaceutical industry. And if they're being funded by insurance companies, they'll be making more room for those industries. And it's important to look at who is being funded by whom, who's taking big dollars, and who is not. So these are all considerations that I hope we all take into account. Thank you so much for sticking with me through this review, and tune in again next week.